We're holding on page 102 in Sanhedrin. The paragraph labeled Daf Pei Yomid Bei is the second to last paragraph on the page, the very end of Oseh Kuf Tes Zayin. The Mishnah talks about a case where you have people who are chayiv of different misses based in, got mixed up together, and based in can't tell who's who. So what do you do as far as the misses based in? You can't give somebody a harsher missa than they deserve. So what do we do exactly? So the Gemara tells how one time, Rabbi Chezkel, one of the Udi Amiroyim, was teaching his son Rami this Mishnah, but he taught it to him using phrasing that his other son Rabbi Yehuda, this is the regular Rabbi Yehuda, the regular Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora throughout Shas, argued that that's wrong, that's not the correct reading of it, because then the Mishnah wouldn't fit. And he tells his father don't teach him that way. Instead, this is how the Mishnah should read. We even find that Rabbi Yehuda, in that sense, is basically his father's Rebbe, and they go back and forth, and eventually he proves to his father that his reading is correct. But the Gemara says, Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, but Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one, which that was Shmuel's name for Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas, Loi Teva, another explanation of Shinina means the one with the big teeth. Anyway, he tells him, Loi Teva, La'avucha Hoch, you shouldn't talk to your father like that, and tell him, no, you're not reading the Mishnah right. Tanya, because we live in a Braisa. Suppose that a person's father is actually violating the Torah. So we're not even talking about reading a Mishnah, we're not even talking about teaching a Mishnah wrongly. He's actually doing an Aveda. And we're not talking about also that the father is a known Baal Aveda. So we're talking about, let's say, he's doing an Aveda, sometimes people slip up. Lo yoyma, lo abba avart al divrei Torah. You shouldn't tell him, Tati, you violated what it says in the Torah. Ela oymaloi, rather you should tell him, Abba, kachkos, kachksiv batorah. You should tell him, Tati, this is what, or it sounds like it's a question. You tell him, Abba, kachksiv batorah. Is that what it says in the Torah? And then he'll realize his mistake himself. But the Gemara asks, well, how does that help? So, at the end of the day, isn't that the same thing? By telling him, does it say that? Isn't that also embarrassing? It amounts to saying, how could you do such a thing? Ella, no. What it means is, what you should tell him, Abba Mikra Kosaba Torah Kahu. Don't tell it to him as a question. Tell him, Tati, it says such and such in the Pasuk, and let him realize for himself that, you know what, this makes me realize that I did something wrong. The Rambam actually learns differently. The Nosek Kalem on the Rambam understands that the Rambam does understand that Lamaskona, you should tell it to him as a question. You could ask him, does it actually say that? But at least it's phrasing in a more respectful way. You're not openly contradicting him. You're asking him, does it really say that? And let him realize for himself what his mistake is. Either way, the point is, Shmuel is telling Rabbi Yehuda, you have a valid point as far as the wording of the Mishnah, but don't tell your father that way. Instead, tell it to him in a more respectful way. Further on, a Mishnah talks about what if a person himself, what if an individual person is chai of two different misses based in. So it could be he did at different times two different things, one of which is chai of one missa and the other is chai of the other. They didn't manage to catch him the first time, let's say. Or it could be that he did one action that involves multiple misses based in. So then the Mishnah talks about that you give him the stronger one, the harsher one among the two of them. And the Gemara derives it for the Gemara derives that din from Psukim in Yechezkel. Yechezkel gives a mushal in Perek Yud Ches of his Sefer. He talks about that people were complaining about the idea. It seems that our ancestors do their Avedas, and it's the children who bear the brunt of it. Like they're saying, our ancestors for hundreds of years were worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing other Avedas. Why are we after the ones that have to undergo the Churban and the Golos and all that? So Yechezkel explains to them with he gives them like a long extended scenario, basically of a father who's a tzaddik, who has a son who's a rasha, and then the son, the rasha, has a son who's a tzaddik, and each one of them gets what they themselves deserve. The father, the tzaddik, doesn't get punished for his son's averus, and vice versa, the son doesn't get rewarded for his father's averus, or rewarded for his son's averus, etc., etc. You have the concept but that's Ustin Maisiyah Vasein Yudin. That's when they follow in the ways of their fathers. And here Yechezkel is explaining to them that in each generation of this hypothetical family, you have each one does the opposite, so it's not Ustin Maisiyah Vasein. Anyway. So the Gemara explains that he describes when it comes to the Rosha, the middle generation, it describes he does a bunch of Averis, and these are things the Gemara explains that are high of different Mrs. Bastin, and the implication is that the implication of the Pasuk is that he gets the harshest Mrs. Bastin. So you see that when a person was over on multiple Averis, he gets the harshest one. Okay, so after going through that whole discussion, then the Gemara brings a drasha of the earlier psukim, the ones that talk about the first generation, the father who was a tzaddik. So the pasuk says on him that the pasuk describes several things that he did not do, and then it also describes several things that he did do, but those the Gemara is not going to address. We'll talk about Marasha addresses those. Anyway, so what did the pasuk says? Ma'idichtiv. So what does it mean in this connection? The pasuk says about the tzaddik, the first generation. El ha'horim lo. So the whole pasuk goes like this. El ha'horim lo ochal. He didn't eat on the mountains. Parshat Tractor is in those times they would have picnics for Avodah Zarah on the mountains. They would worship Avodah Zarah on the mountains all over Eretz Yisrael, and they would have picnics there in honor of their korbanos of Avodah Zarah. The Ein of Leinoso Gilulu. First, I'll quote the whole pasuk, and then we'll explain how the Gemara goes through it phrase by phrase. The Ein of Leinoso Gilulu Beis Yisrael. He didn't lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Yisrael, the idols that other Jews worship. Ve'as Eish Yisrael Leitime. He did not defile the wife of somebody else. Vel Isha Nidra Leyikrav, and he doesn't come close to a woman who's a Nidra. Then the pasuk goes on to mention positive things that he does. He doesn't. He returns a mashkin to a poor person. He gives bread to the poor, etc. But we have to ask, this first pasuk over here, he didn't do these serious avedas. He didn't worship Avodah Zarah. He wasn't mezana with an eishes ish. Uichmer tzaddik. That you need to tell us that he's a tzaddik for not doing such things. So we have to understand on a deeper level that it means that it's not just that he didn't do those blatant avedas, but there's other things that it's implying that he didn't do. So el ha'horim lo ochal, when it says he didn't eat on the mountains, so that the real meaning, deeper meaning of it is, shalei ochal b'schus avoysav. He does not eat, he does not enjoy this world in the schus of his ancestors. You know, he doesn't have to rely on the schus of his ancestors. He himself is a chosid, he himself is a tzaddik, and therefore he can rely, therefore he's able to rely on his own schusim. Marshall says another point as well. It can also mean he doesn't want to rely on his father's schusim because he wants as much of the schus should be saved up for Olam Haba as possible. So he doesn't want to use it up in this world any more than necessary. And since the avos are often compared in Pesukim to mountains, so el ha'horim lo'ochal means he's not eating, he's not enjoying this world because of the horim, because of the avos. Next, when it says ve'ein of le'nos gilul beis Yisrael, when it says he didn't lift up his eyes to the idols of the Jewish people, the deeper meaning of it is shalai holach b'koymus skufa. He did not walk around with an erect, upright posture, which the Gemara says in other places shows a degree of gaiva and is durchik ragle ashchina. It so to speak pushes away the feet of the shchina and makes it look like he belongs in this place and Hashem does not. So this person does not walk in that way. He wore the Rambam describes the proper way that a person should be walking. His head is a little bit down, and he walks along in the street. It shouldn't be like his head bowed down all the way like that, but it should be the Rambam describes like when a person is preoccupied with his business or whatever, and he's walking around with his head down a little bit, thinking about that. That's the kind of posture a person should be walking with. So this person did that. And Bas Ashis Rayulitime, when it says he didn't defile his neighbor's wife, the deeper meaning is Shala Yara Umnus Khaveri. He didn't encroach on somebody else's craft or occupation. Now you have a concept in Halacha called Asogas Bull. Many times you push it not allowed to do that, for example, to open a competing store when somebody else already has a store selling something and you're gonna open a competing business and take away Parnosa from him. There are times when it's mutter though. So obviously we're not talking about, again, Yechezkel is not describing for us a person who's not doing blatant avedus. There's no chiddush in it. It means, in other words, even in cases where al pi halacha he would be allowed to, nevertheless he goes the extra mile not to. And the idea is the reason why Umnus Chavera is called his wife, we find the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, there's a pasuk, Ve'eichayim Isha Asher Havta, see life together with the woman that you love, and the Gemara explains over there that one meaning of it is a parnasa. From there we learn that a father has to teach his son, a parnasa has to teach him a trade or something, that he should have what, the same way as the father has to, the Gemara learns from there also that different other things that a father is obligated to do for his son, so we see that an Umnus is compared to a wife.
How do you learn from something that is those
very serious Averis. So the idea is, in other words, what Yechezkel was telling us, it's no Chiddush that he doesn't do the gross Averis like that, like Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayis and so forth. The Chiddush is, each of these things, you can talk about Bedakus. For example, the gross kind of denying Hashem is to actually worship Avodah Zarah and eat at these Avodah Zarah picnics. But then there's a finer kind, a more dakosic kind of denying Hashem, which is that, which is, for example, to walk b'koyim skufa, to walk with an erect posture. So you can't say that somebody is doing that as flat out doing an Avera, but nevertheless, it's more dakosic. It's all a continuum of each of these things. It's a continuum. In a kala la kovid, and so the Pasuk is mentioning it in the kovid, but it means, in other words, because he won't do the kovid precisely because he keeps away from even a trace of the cow that eventually on that continuum could lead to that. So he does all those things. Well, Isha Nida La Yikra, and when Pasuk says he doesn't come close to a woman who's a Nida, that means the deeper meaning is Shalanyan and the Kupa Shot Tzedakah, he doesn't benefit from the Tzedakah fund, because it's a Gnai, for Rashi says it's a Gnai for a decent person to have benefit from Tzedakah. So in that sense, it's like Nida. The literal meaning of Nida means repulsive. Or separated. That's why a woman who's nida is called that, because she's separated from her husband. Like the bleeding is a repulsive thing. So therefore, he considers it repulsive, and he doesn't want to take from Kupa Shel Tzedakah. Now, in other words, so he's not just not doing the gross Averis, he's even not doing the finer things that are each one on a continuum, on a spectrum with each of these Averis. So Maharsha explains, all of them boil down to, he doesn't want to have Hana from Olam Hazeh any more than necessary. He'll take on himself poverty and Yisurim, so he'll have a complete schar in Olam Haba. So therefore, again, he doesn't want to have Hana in the schus of his others, because he wants that saved up for Olam Haba. He doesn't go b'koyim skufa, means that, so there it's something else. It means, in other words, again, that he's not doing even the trace of Avodah Zarah, which is Gaiva, is compared in various places in Shas to Avodah Zarah. Lo yorod l'umnus chaveroi means, again, in other words, he's willing to even have a harder time making a living, abi, to not encroach even the slightest on somebody else's parnasa. Maharsha points out also, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, for example, that a man does the work outside the house and earns the income, and then the wife is the one who actually turns it into finished product that he can eat. So therefore, an umnus, where a person earns his salary or his pay or whatever, where he earns his income, is very much similar to a wife in that sense, that's he eats because of it. And the tzedakah, Maharsha explains, a nida, a man's wife when she's a nida, he had a time when he was mutter, but then now she's also, and therefore she's nida. The same way, this mammon, originally it was mutter, originally the owners had it, and he could have borrowed it from them, or he could have whatever, but now that it's in the tzedakah fund, and the aniyim need it more, then he's gonna stay away from it. Now, Shel goes on to say now, again, the psukim, the next pasuk does go on to mention other things that he does and doesn't do. He doesn't cheat anybody. He returns a mashkin. He doesn't steal. So now the Gemara, though, did not douch in any of those. And Maharsha explains, because the pasuk starts by introducing the guy, it says, v'osam mishpat u'tzedakah. So fine, those kinds of things have to do with mishpat u'tzedakah. So we understand it means pashat on the pashat level. It means he doesn't do any of those. He's careful from even a trace of any of those things. And fine, we can douch in also, for example, v'ish lo yoyna means, for example, he won't cheat a goy, even though, as we talked about yesterday, there are cases where technically toros goy mutter, nevertheless, he's careful even with that. He'll return a mashkin, meaning even, in other words, let's say, for example, he was over on something of that, then he'll return the mashkin outright and say, fine, you know what, I'm not keeping your mashkin anymore because I don't want to be over on the din of returning it to you every night and so forth. And then Maharsha goes on and explains the various other things in the pasuk like that, but fine. The point is, in other words, those are all mishpat tzedakah, so the Gemara doesn't really need to dash in that those mean anything. Fine, they mean, in other words, you can say, like Maharsha says, they mean a higher level of the actual mitzvah, but not that they mean something completely different. Ish lo yoyna is going to mean he doesn't cheat somebody. It means not just not a yid, he'll be extra careful not to cheat a goy either, and so forth. But these ones, the Gemara is completely taking out of the pshat, because again, this is not mishpat tzedakah, and these seem like very blatant averis that why should be praised. The guy for them, and that's the answer. Is that all of these are talking about more dakosticka kind of things. Then Yehoyada points out there's also kind of a connection, there's an interconnection between all of them. He's not, he doesn't depend on the schus of the others, but he doesn't become a Baal Gaiva for saying to himself, you know what, look what a tzaddik I am, that I don't need to rely on the schus of the others. He doesn't go b'koy meskufa. And he doesn't think to himself, you know what, I deserve this job, or I deserve this parnasa more than the other guy, and therefore I should have a right to encroach on it. So layor l'umnus chaveroi, and then he thinks to himself, as far as the tzedakah, you know what, sure, I'm in a position where I need it, but somebody else needs it more than me, so I'm staying away from it. So they all fit together, therefore. Uchtiv, and the pasuk says on him, tzaddik hu choya yichya. He is a tzaddik, he will surely live, meaning in olam hazeh and in olam haba. So the Gemara says, Now when Rabbi Gamliel would reach this pasuk, when he was learning Tanakh and he would reach this pasuk, he would cry. But Omar, and he said, it sounds like the pasuk is saying, Manda over l'kula hu d'chaye. It sounds like only if a person is careful with all these things, then he's going to live. It sounds like one of them is not going to be enough. That Hashem should grant him life because of that. Omalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, think of it this way. Elame'ata, consider this. You have, by the parasha of Arayas, the pasuk says at the end, Al titamu b'chol eila. Do not become tame with all of these. Hochinami b'kula ein b'chodim in ayuloi. Are you going to say the same thing? You're not allowed to become tame with all the Arayas, but it's fine to do some of them. Ela ba'achas mikol eila. No, the word kol over there doesn't mean all of them. It means any of them. Hochinami ba'achas mikol eila. The same way, when the pasuk says over here, that you have a pasuk a few psukim later that says es kol eila osa. So in the same thing, it doesn't mean that he has to do kol. It doesn't mean he has to do all of them. Kol eila. He does any of these choyo yichya. For that, he deserves life in olam hazeh and in olam haba because of his midas chassid. In this regard, in a similar vein, you have at the end of Makkos, you have something similar as well. At the end of Kapitel Tesvav of Tillim, the Gemara explains over there that Kapitel Tesvav is David telling us 11 basic midas tovus that a person needs to have. And with that, he'll keep all the 613 mitzvahs. We'll learn about it in a few months, Beis Hashem, when we get to there, the end of Makkos. And you have the same kind of thing where the Gemara says that one of the Tanoim was bothered by that. The Pasuk says, Oise Eila, Lo Yimit Lo Olam, someone who does these will never stumble. Does that imply? Only if he does all of them. And again, the same explanation that it means, doesn't say Oise Kol Eila, just Oise Eila, he does these, meaning any of these, and that's enough, then that's enough for him to be Zoyche L'chai Yolam Abba. The Mishnah goes on, Misha Lok of Ashana. If somebody has done an Aveira and he got Malkus for it, and he did this and he did the same Aveira again and he again got Malkus for it. So now when he does it the third time, Vastin Kunstin Osila Kippa, then Vastin will stick him in a kippa. Kippa literally means like we have a kippa that we wear on our head. It means a little domed area. So it's a small little confined building. The Rambam describes it. It's exactly the height of a person, and it's also very narrow. So there's no room even to lay down in it. So they stick him in there, umachil and oisus saorim, and they feed him barley until his stomach bursts, and he dies that way. In other words, the idea is, once we're talking about a guy who's done the same Avera, and remember, many Averas that are chayav Malkus are also, if it's not Malkus, then it's going to be Kores. So we're talking about a person who's been over, particularly on Chayve Krisis, a couple of times, and the Gemara explains, by the way, it doesn't mean different Averas. The Gemara explains, if it was different Averas, and each time he got Malkus, he could say, listen, he wanted to try out different kinds of Isurim, he wanted to try out different kinds of Gashmistika pleasures. But when it's the same thing again and again, then already, Basin has the right to consider this is an incorrigible guy, so since eventually he's leading himself to getting Kores anyway, so fine, B'derech HaTeva, a person who's Chayve Kores, can live in the times of the Beis Hamikdash till 50 or 60, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the person's chayos is cut off, but there's a reshimu, there's a leftover that's good enough until 50 or 60, so they can't kill him outright, but they can sort of bring it fast, that he'll die faster through this method of the kippah.
It's considered to be killing. The Rambam is talking also about somebody that does the same thing to somebody else, like putting him in, right.
It's true, of course. Putting him in a the Rambam talks about, for example, when he puts him in a confined area, and for example, the guy suffocates. Here we're not talking about the guy who doesn't suffocate in there, but Pashtos says ventilation that he doesn't suffocate, just that they feed him. As the mission is going to go on to say, they feed him a starter. The outcome is going to be that he dies, but it's not as direct as Mrs. Basting. So they and the Gemara is going to show where we have a remez for it in the pasuk. Hold on. Okay. So they do that. So they feed him barley until the stomach ruptures. Ha'horid nefashis shalai be'edim, then you also have a case. A person kills without edim, or the Gemara explains anything without edim at all, or without edim, of course he can't do anything to him. It means, for example, that there were edim, but for example, they didn't see each other. They have to see each other when they're giving edus. They have to, otherwise called edus miyachedes. You can have, for example, that they gave masra, but instead of saying, yes, I'm going to do it anyway, he just nodded his head, and the Gemara gives a few other examples where of this case. Then also, they also stick him in the kippah, and there they feed him a bare amount of bread and a bare amount of water, which the Gemara explains it's actually both. The two parts of the Mishnah, and the printed Mishnayos, these are actually two different Mishnayos, is actually each one tells us half of what they do. In other words, the whole thing, in both cases, the guy who did was over on Malchus twice, and the guy now did it a third time, and the guy who killed without proper edus, in both cases, they put him in the kippah, again, in this small, confined area, and they give him a bare amount of bread and water, just enough to keep him alive, and eventually his stomach shrinks from that, and then they feed him a large amount of barley, and his stomach ruptures. So the Mishnah, each part of the Mishnah is telling us half of it. The Rav Margolius explains in a Sefer Margolius Hayam that in each part of the Mishnah, the reason it gives only half is because each one it wants to highlight the chiddush. In the first part, you wouldn't think the guy's chayiv misa after all. I mean, okay, he did things that are chayiv, he did something that's chayiv malchus, so therefore the chiddush is the fact that they give him something to cause his stomach to rupture and him to die. The second one, where he killed, obviously Beistin should kill him somehow, but so there the chiddush is that they feed him at all in the first place rather than just putting him in there and starving him to death. So that's how he explains, that's why the two Mishnayos are phrased this way. And the Rambam explains that, I mean, out of all the chayiv and misses, you have 36 averis for which a person can be chayiv misses based in, out of all of them, the only one we do this to is eretzeach, because murder really breaks up the social fabric more than anything else. So therefore, as bad as it is, if a person breaks Shabbos, or worships Avodah Zarah, or does any of the other things, or does Arayas, or any of the Gili Arayas, or any of the other things, only Ritzipa gets in this kind of thing, where the other ones, for example, a person breaks Shabbos, and there's this kind of flawed Eidus, or whatever, okay, Basin has no choice but to let him go, and the Eidushter will deal with him. Same thing with Arayas, same thing with everything else, only here by Ritzipa do we have this unique thing.
In today's modern world, if we would have the best forensic
forensic science wouldn't help us. You still need edim, and you still need edim and asra and tefillin and yibzan. The pasha is the same thing, yeah.
You just kill them in another way.
What's
that again?
Ritzicha is murder. So the Gemara says, my kippah. What exactly is this kippah? What's the word? Well, kippah literally means a domed building. So what does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda Moloi Kaimase. So Rabbi Yehuda says, as the Rambam explained, it means a place that's only his full height. And as the Rambam says, it's also so narrow that he can't even lay down in there. Okay, the question is, the Hecha Remiza. Where is there a remez to this kind of punishment in the Torah? Meaning, Rashi explains, there's no question it's Halacha Moshe Misinai, because the Chacham Bashtas, I guess, because the Chacham wouldn't have come up with such an idea on their own. But there must be some remez for it, even Halacha Moshe Misinai, there can be a remez for it someplace. So where is that? Amar Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish says, as the Pasuk says in Tillim, to Moses Rosha Ra, the Rosha should be killed by the evil. So you have somebody who has a chazaka being a Rosha, then his own evil should kill him. So you see from that, this guy already has a chazaka of being a Rosha, so therefore we have his rishus, his evil, kills him via the kippah.
Why is he not bringing
with Alvaro
Zubedo? Why is it what? Why is the Gemara not bringing the case with Eldad and Medad that Yeshua said Kloim?
That's Kloim. So fine, Yeshua said Kloim, put him in jail. First of all, not everybody agrees. First of all, not everybody agrees in that. Earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had different opinions of what Yeshua meant when he said Kloim. But fine, even if he meant Kloim, put him in jail, it wasn't a kippah like this. He just meant put him in jail temporarily in this way, like they'll be distracted and they won't be saying Nevuah anymore. But in any case, there's also Rashi mentions that they're hatal alayim tzorchei tzibur, make him get him busy with things for the tzibur, and yeah. So that's the idea. According to Rashi, in other words, to Moses Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh needs to be killed by his own evil, and the keeper accomplishes that. Marashar explains a little differently. The vork is that the Ra means, in other words, again, they're not directly killing him, but they're putting him in a situation where eventually he's going to die on his own, basically, and therefore that's called Ra. So to Moses Rosha, how is the Rosha killed? Ra, by a way which is bad for him, where he has like an extended painful death. which goes together, then Maharsha explains, with the next thing that we have over here in the Gemara about a fish hook. Why they do it this way? First of all, Ion Yaakov points out that he acted like a behemoth, therefore he deserves to be fed barley, which is ma'isa behemoth. Ben Yehoyada goes further. He says, you know, especially in the case of the Ritzeach, he confined the other guy in a grave, in a little narrow grave in the ground. Therefore, he deserves to be confined in a little narrow keeper. And again, he acted like a behemoth, killing. Therefore, he deserves to be fed ma'isa behemoth.
Looks like the Mrs. Besdin of Besdin is not painful as much as this.
Yeah, that's true.
So he is.
That is true. So in L'chora, he's in a way worse off. Yeah. Yes. The Omer Shlokish, and Shlokish in this connection says, "My dichtiv." What does it mean? The pasuk says, "Ki gam lo yedah ha'adam s'itzoi." No person knows his time. So Rashi explains the connection is just because Shlokish was talking about a pasuk, a drasha on a pasuk. So therefore, the Gemara brings another drasha of a pasuk of his on a pasuk. We'll explain in a second. Other Meforshim have other explanations of what the connection is. Anyway, so the pasuk says, "Ki gam lo yedah ha'adam s'itzoi." No person knows his time when his time is up on earth. Kadogim shne'achos. Like fish who are caught in a bad trap. So my mitzvah ra, what is mitzvah ra? Bad trap, as opposed to what kind? So Resh Lakish has a fish hook. Rashi explains it's ra in the sense it's small and weak. It's a little tiny piece of metal, and yet you can catch big fish with it. And meanwhile, now the fish doesn't even realize that there's anything going on over here, and it bites on the bait and ends up getting caught on the hook. So therefore, that's called mitzvah ra. Maharsha explains another way of looking at it. It's ra in the sense that it hurts the fish when the fish hook gets embedded into its jaw or wherever it goes exactly, then it hurts it. So therefore, it's exactly actually as opposed to, for example, a net which is outside the fish's body and doesn't really hurt it as much. So therefore, Maharsha says that's the connection with the kippah over here. It's not just another drosha of Resh Lakish. It explains the same way as the kippah is a misa ra, the same way over here being caught by a fish hook, where first the fish. Is hurt, and then it gets caught and dragged out of the water, and that's also raw compared to other kinds of things. Ben Yehoyada points out another way of looking at it is also let's say, for example, a fish is caught inside a net, it can still swim around in the net. So it's not so raw for it, as opposed to the fish hook. It can't go anywhere once the hook is stuck into it. So therefore, that's also fixed very well with the keeper over here, where the guide pusher can't move around afterwards. And the reef over here adds also, you know, here the fish swallows the bait that thinks, hey, here's food, and all of a sudden it's caught on a fish hook. The same way the person sometimes in life thinks that he has things are going very good, but he doesn't never knows from the good, then it can come out something that unexpected that's not so good, at least not Tuva Nirva Nigla. Piska, the Mishnah then describes after it talks about, so now we've got, at this point the Masechta has gone through the people who are high of three of the four Mrs. Basin. It talked about the procedures of Mrs. Basin in earlier Parakim. Then it talked about all the people who are high of Skila, all the people who are high of Slefa. The Hereg, we talked about earlier in the Perek, that it talked about Ritzeach, the other one, the Erni Dachas, discussed at the end of the Masechta. Chenech is going to be in the next Perek. But now, the Mishnah describes, aside from they have the kippah, which is kind of it's not a regular kind of killing. It's not one of the Jalab Mrs. Basin. Now you also have, the Mishnah mentions a few things that if a person does them, then Basin doesn't deal with him at all, but instead Kanoyim Poygim, right? Kanoyim, people who are zealous for the honor of Hashem, should go and attack him. It's machlokas among the Rishonim, whether Kanoyim are required to, or only they have the right to. But anyway, so then the Mishnah lists a few things. The most famous is Aboril Aramis. So Yid has a relation with a Goita, which is now what the Gemara is going to talk about, the whole story of Pinchas. But the Mishnah mentions a couple of others as well. Somebody who steals the clay shoris, a Kohen who does the Avoida, the Tuman, and some others. So the Mishnah says, Aboril Aramis, a Yid who has relations with a Goita, Kanoim, Poigin Boy, then Kanoim, people who are zealous for the honor of Hashem, can attack him. But only as Rashi points out, only B'shas Maisa, La'achra Maisa, then no, they can't kill him, as the Gemara is going to say soon about Pinchas and Zimri. And then we're going to talk about a number of rules that apply in that connection, and then we're going to get into the whole story of Pinchas and Cosby and Zimri. But first, the Gemara says, "Boy min Rav Kahana mirab." Rav Kahana asks Rav, "Loy pogu boy kanoim mahu?" So what happens if kanoim don't attack him and kill him? What punishment does he get instead? The Orachon there points out, the answer that Rav, the answer that the Gemara is going to go on to give applies particularly to the Borei Laramis. Doesn't necessarily apply to the other cases of the Mishnah, but the answer could end up being the same thing, or it could be that specifically by the Borei Laramis, because it's really much more public Chilul Hashem than the other ones. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Inshiye Rav the Gemara. Rav forgot what he had learned on the topic, and he didn't have the answer for Rav Kahana. That night, Akriyua Rav Kahana Bechelmi. That night, Rav Kahana had a dream where he was read the following pasuk from Malachi. The Novi Malachi lives at the beginning of the second Mishnah. In his times, there were a number of problems in Jewish life, which he talks in his Nevuas about. One of them is that there was a problem of intermarriage. There were Jewish men who had intermarried with Goyish women. Ezra also deals with that. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah has an opinion that Malachi and Ezra are actually the same person. Nehemiah later on had to deal with it as well. The Medrash says basically what happened was when the Yidden came from Babel to build the second Mishmikdash, it was a long, hard trip. And the women, their looks were much more affected by the hardships of the road than the men. So therefore, the men, who needs to be married to her anymore? She's ugly now. So some of them would divorce their wives and men take up with Goethe's. Some of them would keep their wife as like a secondary wife and marry a Goethe. And it was a big problem. So the Navi says, Bogda Yehuda has been disloyal, the Se'eva Nest of Yisrael over Yerushalayim, and disgusting things are being done in Yisrael and Yerushalayim, Kichilo Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asha'ayiv, because Yehuda has desecrated the holiness of Hashem, which he loves, and Hashem loves the Jewish people, and Hashem loves when we're holy, and now they've desecrated it, Uva Bas Kel Mecher, and they've had relations with the daughter of a foreign god. So that's the pasuk. Rav Kahana dreamt in a dream that pasuk was being read. The next day, also Omalei. So the next day, he comes and tells us, Rebbe Rab, Hochi Akriyun. This is the pasuk that I was read in my dream. Ad Hochi. So with that, Ad Kere Rav the Gemara. With that, Rav remembered what he had learned on the topic, and he remembered actually that this pasuk gives the answer to Rav Kahana's question. Or actually, this pasuk tells, among other things, about this problem of intermarriage. It tells about several different averus that the Jewish people were doing at that time. And the next pasuk tells us what the punishment is if kanoim are not poigim by. So Rav started explaining to Rav Kahana. Here's what the pasuk means. Bogda Yehuda, when it says Yehuda has been disloyal to Avodas Kechavim, this means that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. How do we know that that's called Bogad? Bogad can be based Yisrael, no Hashem. As Yumi, a couple of generations earlier, had said to the Jewish people, you've been disloyal to Hashem, you've been disloyal to me, house of Yisrael, says Hashem. Maharshal explains, the name Yehuda itself includes the name of Hashem in it. Yehuda has in it Yud and He and Vav and He. So now they're disloyal to me. My name is similar to the name Yehuda, and they're being disloyal to it, and instead they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. We learned earlier in the Masechta that the Anshei Knesset Gadol daven for the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah to be taken away. So either there were still some people who were doing it lahachis or whatever, or this is before the Anshei Knesset Gadol daven for it. So that's that. When it says the Se'eva Nest of Yisrael of Yerushalayim, when it says that disgusting things are being done in Yehuda and in Yisrael and Yerushalayim, so Rav explained, Zem Mishkav Zohar, that means that people were doing Mishkav Zohar. V'cheinu Omer, as we find Mishkav Zohar is described, Ves Zohar, Le Sishka, Mishkav Eisha, Te'eva Hi. So we see that the pasuk refers to it as Te'eva.
Why aren't they not saying about Kishuf, it's also Te'eva?
There's a number of things that the Torah mentions as Te'eva. So one thing is, that the Orach HaNer, I think it is, points out that most of the other things that he's accusing them about are Arayas. So we have to understand that a Te'eva over here means something in connection with Arayas. And even Avodah Zarah, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, to begin with, the Jewish people worshipped Avodah Zarah only so they could use it as an excuse to do Arayas for Fahasia. So there really is a connection between that and Arayas as well. Next, the pasuk continues, Kichilo Yehuda Kodesh Hashem, and Yehuda has desecrated the holiness of Hashem. That means Zoyna, that means there are Jewish men who are involved with Zoynus. And that means this can even be a Jewish woman, but she's mufko, she's promiscuous. So they're not allowed to do that either. V'cheinu emu v'lo yi a Kodesh, as the pasuk says, there should not be a Kodesh meaning a man who abandons his kedusha and goes in and has to do with zoinus. On the bottom of it, here it says it's supposed to be the loisia kedusha, the benoisi Israel, where the same pasuk says that a Jewish woman is not allowed to be a kedusha, which is the same thing to be a zoinu. The idea is, in other words, the basic meaning of kodesh means set aside. So usually we use it of things of holiness, but it can also mean set aside for the opposite, and that's what kodesh and kedusha mean. So here, Yehuda has desecrated the kodesh of Hashem, and instead they're being with a kedesh or a kedusha. And when it continues, Avobas Kel Necher, and he had relations with the daughter of a foreign god, Zabal Aramis. That refers to a Jewish man who's having relations with a Goita, whereas the Gemara goes on to say further, it's she's considered to be the daughter of the Geshke. She's considered to be the daughter of that foreign god, and he, a Yiddish man, is having relations with her. In other words, Maharsha says you shouldn't think that Bas Kel Necher conceivably could mean the daughter of a Yid who's worshipping Avodah Zarah. That wouldn't be, because even if you have a Yid worships Avodah Zarah, his daughter is not a Bas Ovid Kechavim. She's still a Yisraelis, and her children will be Yisraelim. So therefore, it has to refer Dafka to a Goethe. And as the Rambam points out, that even though, as we're saying over here in the sugya, there's no Mrs. Bastian for a Yid with a Goita, nevertheless, in a way, it's a worse Avera than all the other Arayas, because the other Arayas, at least you have the child as a Yid, whereas over here the child is a Goy, and B'chal, you're taking away then Zera Yisrael, and then mixing it among the Goyim. Okay, so that's the Pasuk. So Malachi the Navi is accusing the Jewish people of these serious Averas. Now, Aktiv Basrei, now then, the next pasuk continues, Yachris Hashem le'ish asher ya'asena, Hashem will cut off for those who do such things, Er v'oina me'ola Yaakov, an er or an oina from the tents of Yaakov, er means awake, or alert, and oina means an answerer, or magish mincha la'Hashem tzvakas, or anyone who brings close a mincha to Hashem tzvakas. What does that mean? The punishment is, if a person who does these averis is a tamid chacham, then his punishment is going to be, aside from kanoim pogim, but if the kanoim don't get him, lo yelei er b'chachamim v'oinim b'tamidim, he will not have among his children, either his Jewish children, obviously we're talking about, but there won't be any alert one among the chachamim v'oinim, or anyone who can answer, who can speak up among the tamidim. In other words, his children will be amei aretz. They won't have the ability to learn. To learn and to teach Torah. So Maharsha points out also, we learned previously, earlier in our Masechta, we had that if a person sleeps in the Beis Medrash, then his Torah gets ripped up to shreds. So Er can literally mean that he won't literally be awake and alert in the Beis Medrash. Instead, he's going to fall asleep all the time, and his Torah will be broken up into pieces. So that's the Er B'Chachamim. And in current, he won't have oina b'tamidim. Maharsha explains, first of all, oina can mean somebody who can speak up and then be able to speak coherently in the Beis Medrash to ask good questions. But it also means a tamid chacham has a special oina of his own. Shabbos to Shabbos, instead, who are his descendants going to be? People who have another kind of oina because they do other kinds of work. So that's oina b'tamidim. In koyin hu, and if this person who does these things is a koyin, lo yale ben magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakas, then he will not have any children who are going to offer a mincha to Hashem, meaning his children will not have the schus of serving in the Beis Mikdash. Yaakov points out over here, you see that therefore Pinchas, who taka fought against somebody who did just that, he was zeicha that his children are magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakas, because he stood up for Hashem's honor in this connection. It can mean that he's not going to have kids. It can mean that his kids are not going to live long enough to serve in the Beis Mikdash. Or it can mean that they won't be of the caliber to. They'll have problems that will prevent them from serving in the Beis Mikdash or whatever. Or just they won't have the schus for whatever reason. Now, what happens if he's none of the above? What happens if he's not a tamid chacham and not a koyin? So the Rif says, okay, well then in that case, then it would mean that he's chayiv koris. In fact, the Gemara talks about a concept in this connection called Koris Midivre Kabbalah. You have 36 things, or depending on how you count them, 36, or the Rambam counts them as 43, for which a person is Chayiv Koris, but those are all listed in the Torah. Now you have an example of something where a person is Chayiv Koris Midivre Kabbalah, where the Koris doesn't say in Chamisha Chomshei Torah. Instead, we learn it from a pasuk in Nevi'im that says Yachres Hashem. So therefore, so there is the answer. So Rav Kahana was wondering, if Kanoim are not Poygim Boy, what happens? So the answer is, depending whether he's a Tamid Chacham or a Koyin, and if none of the above, then Yachres Hashem, and that's how it is. Okay. And then the last bit over here, Omer Priya Baravoya, called a Baal HaRamis, a Yid has relation to the Goita, Kilim Eschatin Ba'amiris Kechavim. Then as if he's marrying, and as if he's marrying the actual Getchka. You know, as if he's marrying into the family of the Getchka. He had relations with the daughter of a foreign god. A foreign god doesn't have any daughters. That means when he has relations with a goita, then he's considered as though he intermarried with, as now is mechutin with the avodah zarah. And you know, as the Altareva points out in Tanya, you have the point even where in the slavish beguf boss of a dumb, and already it's very hard to actually wipe it out with Shuvah, and then you have the famous story of the Baal Shuvah in the times of Mitzvah Rebbe with Rabbi Yosef Peshenskevitzer, where eventually he got the news that his Goyisha wife and kids had drowned, and then that showed that his Shuvah was actually accepted. So such things are possible. In the times of Ezra, in the end, what happened was, the Pesukim described over there that Ezra convinced everybody to get rid of their Goyisha wives and children, and they did so. Continuing on this topic of the specialty of 770. Nowadays, most of the Jewish people are, at least a plurality, are found in the Golos in America. So that would be a reason that Rebbe explains, that would be why the Nasi Ador, the Nasi Yakol, lived for 10 years in America, and then afterwards our Rebbe for 50 odd years, and from there he spread Torah and Yiddishkeit and Afotzes HaMayonis to all the other countries where Jews are, through his Talmidim and his Shluchim throughout the world. And you know, B'chol Mokum Shegol Yisrael, Shechina Iman. And so now, in this latest Golos, in this last Golos, where most or a plurality of the Jewish people with the Nasi Ador are in America, that means the Shechina is also in the Golos of America, and in itself, as the Gemara says, the Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel, that in the Mikdash Ma'at, in the special Mikdash Ma'at of America, namely 770. Continuing on halachas of tefillin, when you're putting on tefillin, you first put on the shoyad and then the shorosh. If you accidentally took out the shorosh first, now we learned before a concept called ein ma'avirin al mitzvah. You're not supposed to bypass a mitzvah. Nonetheless, here you do, and you bypass the shorosh and put on the shoyad first, because the fact that you put on the shoyad before the shorosh is min haTorah. First, ukshartem lo'isay yadecha, and then v'hoyu l'tetef is min enecha. So therefore, we don't care over here that you're ma'avir al mitzvahs. One thing is, though, the Ktzos HaShulchan points out, though, that if by mistake you did end up putting the Shorosh on first, then fine, you don't have to take it off and then put on the Shoyad, then you can put on the Shoyad, but you are supposed to put on the Shoyad first.
What do you do?
If you put on the Shorosh first,
yeah.
You already made a bracha with it, didn't you? The Pashas. If not, if you didn't make a bracha yet, then you didn't make a bracha at that point, I mean, too, yeah. Okay. Then the Alter Rebbe goes on to explain that Tefillin Shoyad and Tefillin Shorosh are not one mitzvah. They are two separate mitzvahs, after all, and they're not ma'akev one another. If a person only has a Shoyad, for example, then he puts on only that. If he only has a Shorosh, he puts on only that. Or if he can't put on the Shoyad for whatever reason, as we'll learn later on, then he still puts on only the Shorosh, and vice versa. So each one technically should require a bracha of its own. But you can't make a bracha, she'en etzricha, if you can be yotze with one bracha, then you shouldn't be making two brachas. Therefore, the Chachamim said that you should be putting on tefillin shoyad and tefillin shorosh right away, without talking in between, and that way the bracha for the shoyad will also go on the shorosh. Now, then the Chachamim did, though, also make a separate bracha for tefillin shorosh, the bracha mitzvah tefillin, because the shorosh is more important. It's the main mitzvah. It has greater kedusha, because it has four compartments, not just one. And it has the shin, so therefore it's important enough to get a bracha of its own. So how do you do, in a way, so how do you do that? So that the Alter Rebbe is going to talk about in the following sifim, how you do that, where on the one hand you have two brachas, but on the other hand you shouldn't be making a bracha shenet tzricha. So that will be the subject of the next few sifim, how exactly you do that in the different minhagim that there exists about that.